This is Ozarks at Large. Happy Labor Day. Marie Marvin was, in her time, quite famous. She was one of the earliest champions of aviation. She was an early adopter of the bicycle. She disguised herself to become a bomber pilot in World War I, and she is credited with advancing the concept of the air ambulance. She was a highly respected skier, highly respected ice skater and swimmer and adventurer. She traveled the world, and late in her life, she was profiled in Sports Illustrated. But her name has faded over the decades. Enter Rosalie Maggio, author of the new book, Marie Marvin, Fiancée of Danger. We reached Rosalie recently to ask her about the book and the book's subject.
I hadn't heard of her, and I said, no, that's not right. I have a college degree. I know things, but I had never heard of her. So I was very intrigued. At first, I thought, well, it wasn't true. That was my first impulse. Nobody's the most incredible woman since Joan of Arc. But then I wondered why I hadn't heard of her if she was. So I started digging, and that's how it happened. I was very curious as to how, if she had done those things, why she had been forgotten. And my first idea was, though, to find out, what had she done? And that was fun because it was overwhelming. She's like a personal Guinness Book of World Records. One newspaper said she had so many firsts that you just lose track of them. And really, even speaking as quickly as I can, you could hardly tell everything she did in a few minutes, you know, and you forget things. Plus, it's overwhelming for the listener, which is why it was kind of hard to write the book, because you can't just list, she did this, she did that, and then she did the other thing. That's not a story. And so I tried to work around stories about her to make her come to life so she wasn't just this, comic book figure, that Supergirl or something, you know.
She's born in 1875. She becomes a champion of aviation. She's a nurse. She's athletic. How can you figure out a way that she took this turn, which at times is dangerous and often is adventurous? What led her this way?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First of all, she was born fully loaded. I mean, she came with all kinds of athletic ability. Then her father was a sports champion in his region. Billiards and swimming were his fields. And he just loved sports of all kinds, mountain climbing, whatever. So he married Elizabeth, and they had children, and he could hardly wait to pass on his love of sports to his children. Well, the first three children were boys who each died in infancy. Then came Marie, and a couple of years later came a little boy who was very sickly all his life and died at 18 of heart trouble. So here's this guy with all this love for sports, and and all he's got is Marie. But Marie, he noticed early on, I think he had her swimming before she could walk. That guy took her mountain climbing. He taught her billiards. He taught her every sport he knew. And he bought her her first bike. Bikes were new then, the great big wheel, you know, those days.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought her one. So he was an incredibly forward-looking man for his time. And she was born out of her time, but for him, she might have grown up. Her mother died, when she was 14. So that was about the time that her dad was saying, sure, Marie, you can go practice, learn the circus at the circus. She went to the circus every afternoon when she was 14, learning trick riding, trapeze, lion taming, anything you can do there, acrobatics and so on. Horses. She was the first person to somersault on a galloping horse, or at least recorded doing that. Anyway, point is, here's a guy who let his kid go off to the circus every afternoon. When she was 14, also, he let her compete in a canoeing competition, which she won hundreds of miles down the river against other people, and without a chaperone or anything. So this man was definitely... I don't know if he's carried away by her abilities, that he just had to let her go or what, but without him, it might have been a little different story. She might have been someone would have squeezed her into the mores of the time. Mm. But she was lucky to have a dad like that.
And the accomplishments. Let's talk about the creation of the air ambulance. This comes, you mentioned that she had an early bike, a penny farthing, And of course, many people who were early adopters of bicycles did get into aviation. She flew a lot. She also had medical knowledge. She combined this to create, right, the first air ambulance.
Yes, exactly. And she did it very early on, even before World War I. You'd think the war might have triggered it, but she was a nurse, a registered nurse, Red Cross nurse. Surgical nursing was her specialty. And she was an accomplished pilot, set the first women's records in aviation, third woman to get her license, on and on. So, yeah, it was a real natural to her. Well, duh, we could just fly to people that are sick and, you know, bring the sick to the hospital. But in those days, well, there were two things. So she took her plans, by the way, to the War Department in 1909, and she'd drawn up these plans, and she had it all how it was going to happen. But flying was, first of all, quite dangerous. 87%, this figure is weird, but it's probably true from my reading, 87% of everyone who went up in the air in those days just came down dead. It was not good. Secondly, flying was considered a sport. If you wanted to find the aviation news, you looked in the newspaper under sports, in the sports pages. So here she's trying to sell this idea, and they're like, you know, it's as if she's saying, hey, you guys, golf is going to save lives. You know,
right.
So she did spend a lot of time and fought a lot of opposition. So what she finally did, Marie was like this, she just started raising money herself by giving speeches and so on to order an airplane from the Desmarais Flyers. So she was going to build it and then give it to the Air Force and say, look, try this, you'll like it. In the meantime, that airplane factory went bankrupt because the owner embezzled everything. So old Marie, she didn't spend any time bemoaning it. She just started fundraising again and finally did get her plane. And so she worked very hard to get that idea. And like I said, to us today, we just can't even understand why she would have any trouble selling it. But back then it was tough. And also, oh my gosh, the accidents. If you read the papers in those days, I have one bit of aviation news from a newspaper, the sports pages, of course, and it tells about Marie doing something. The other four articles are people die in fire on plane. People crash and the whole family dies in plane. You know, so people were reading that all the time. And they're like, right, you're going to save lives with something that kills people. So you can see that she had to work. But she was good. She was a delightful speaker. And she gave thousands of conferences around the world. She was in the United States talking about air ambulances. She was in my neck of the woods, Los Angeles, talking about air ambulances and things. So she worked. She was most proud of that. Other people always pointed her other, feats were kind of showier and, you know, very daring and stuff. So people like to talk about those. But she liked the air ambulance. She thought that was a worthy thing to work for.
Well, if aviation was relegated to the sports column or the sports section of newspapers before World War One,
yeah.
World War One showed people that aviation could be more than a sport. And she played a role in aviation in World War One too, didn't she?
Yes, she did. Yeah, she was given a gold medal for bombing two enemy air bases. And technically, she wasn't supposed to fly. Women weren't. They weren't allowed. In fact, when the war broke out, first thing she did was go stand in line to sign up for the Air Force to be a pilot. And they, like, politely said, get out of here. But they said, we'll take your plane. So they wouldn't let her fly, but they requisitioned her plane. And the other irony there was that she had trained most of the pilots. Not most, pardon me, a lot of the pilots who flew in World War One, because she gave flying lessons to newbies. And a lot of them called her their godmother. And then she saw a lot of them die, which is sad. But anyway, the point is, Marie wasn't allowed to fly, but she did. Well, then that led to further war activity. She had done these bombing raids and so on, and a few other raids that people kept under their hats because she wasn't allowed. And she was sitting in an army mess, and she heard a couple infantry soldiers talking, and they were really dissing the pilots. They're like, yeah, those fancy boys, they don't know what war is. They're up in the air. It's nice and clean there. They don't know what it is to fight in the trenches. And Marie thought, pilots are just as brave as they are. So she went and got herself in the infantry as Lieutenant Beaulieu, and she, I think, well, we're pretty sure Marshal Foch helped her do this, and then she had a friend who kind of ran interference for her in the same battalion. So anyway, she was enlisted as an army, as a man, disguised, and she fought for 47 days. She was in the front lines. She was at the listening posts. She did all that. And then when she was injured, they found out she was a woman, and it was, you know, bye. But then, and I always thought Foch did it to just kind of keep her out of his hair, but he got her into the Alpine troops, and she wore the Alpine uniform. It was real cute. They had a feather in their hat and so on. She was a champion skier. She won 20 first prizes in winter sports at Chamonix. Ice skating, skiing, luge. She could do anything. Anyway, so she would ski up provisions into the mountains where these soldiers were staying, and then she would ski out the wounded soldiers. So she did those two services in the war, the infantry and the Alpine battalion. She also did a lot of surgical nursing in field stations and did her flying bit and gathered a little information. She was still giving speeches to raise money for her airplane, so she could kind of go anywhere, and enemy countries asked her to, you know, not to talk about anything political, but they didn't stop her from schmoozing with people after hours, and she would bring back bits of information. She rode her bike on the Italian front. She was also a journalist, so in the war she was also gathering news, and she reported back from the Italian front. At first the Italians wouldn't give her a visa, and then, I don't know, somehow she got one, and so she was able to cover the Italian front.
Wait, didn't she have a connection to the Tour de France?
She did the Tour de France,
yes,
in 1908. She actually, they wouldn't let her, she just put in her application like everybody else, you know. They said, nope, only men. So she just rode that Tour de France 15 minutes behind the field. And that year, I think 114 entrants started off, and 36 finished in Paris at the stadium. Marie would have been 37. And some people say that from what they know, she would have probably placed second. Now, I just throw that out because I haven't checked their bona fides or anything else. It doesn't matter. She did finish it, though, which was quite an accomplishment because those days, can you imagine the kind of bike they were riding in 1908?
No.
You know, it's like bigger than your barn. It was, and they were heavy, and they were cumbersome. And then the village children just loved it. In the Tour de France days, they liked to stick spokes in the wheel. You know that expression, sticking a spoke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they actually did that. They said that was very funny. There were bears. Some years, people were injured by bears. So it was a grueling, horror. So after that race, people really, they began calling her La Marie, you know, just, the French loved her. And, well, when you were talking about how women weren't doing things then, I kept looking, but you know what? Nobody ever got after her for being out of place. Many women throughout history, and even today, women step a little to one side, do something that's not expected, and, you know, they get a little backlash for it. Nobody ever went like, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be married and home and, you know, so on and so on. But, and I think one of the, first of all, she was not arrogant, or she just had fun. Marie did things because she wanted to. She wasn't showing anybody anything. She wasn't trying to prove anything. She just loved doing stuff. And she was very good humored. Plus, she was patriotic, as you can see by her war activities. And in France, that went for a lot. And she was pretty in her earlier years. You know, she was lovely. And they just liked what she was doing. But I always wondered why they didn't go. You know, it's interesting. The perils of Pauline were based on her life. That was an old silent movie thing where this woman was constantly in danger.
It was a serial. So, like, at the end of chapter one, she'd be tied to a railroad track or hanging from a cliff. And then next week you'd go and you'd see her saved, only to get to another peril by the end of chapter three.
That was Pauline. And you know what? Nobody probably remembers this, but Pauline's last name was Marvin. She was based on Marie. And so I think they kind of gave her that nod by calling her Pauline Marvin. They couldn't call her Marvin, of course, because it was a French name, but although a French company did it, it was in English. But anyway, what I was going to say is that these Perils of Pauline, people loved it. And they interviewed some soldiers back in the day, and they said, how come you like Pauline? She can do things that no guy can do, you know? Doesn't that make you feel bad? She said, nah, she's good fun. Well, I think that was kind of the attitude toward Marie. People didn't get their shorts. They weren't worried about, you know, her doing things that women didn't, because it was just so entertaining. And they really always wanted, the newspapers followed her religiously. And in fact, I found one article where they said, people are calling the paper saying, what's Marie doing right now? And so they said, we found her and she's in North Africa and she's doing this and she's fine and she'll be home, but, you know. So people just followed her and kind of idolized her, which is why I have worked on something that, I'll tell you, I didn't even want to do this book or this whole thing. I tried to give it to other people. Nobody would take it. I don't know why, but I did it because it's only fair. Marie was so well known during her lifetime. She was somebody, and she deserves to be in the books and to have her name known. And so if your listeners don't even buy the book, fine, but go to my website, mariemarvin.com, and read about her a little bit. There's short little things and pictures and so on, and it's fun. Get to know her because she's somebody, and I'd like her name to be well known again.
Rosalie Maggio is the author of the new book, Marie Marvin, Fiancée of Danger.